The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during Dr. Jones' earthly ministry, illustrates his firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
My friends, this is the 12th message in a series of 52 I'm bringing on what the Bible says. I'm emphasizing the Bible because that's the important thing today. We're going to have to get back to the Bible in this country or this nation's gone. We can't go on like we're going. We can't go on here compromising with people that don't believe the Bible. Orthodox Bible-believing Christians can cooperate with people in a governmental way or in a business way sometimes and mix and mingle with people in a neighborly sort of way. But we cannot give Christian recognition to people that do not believe the Bible. The Bible forbids it, and the Bible says if a man brings any doctrines except the doctrines of Christ, contrary to the doctrine of Christ at least, and I bid him Godspeed, I'm a partaker of his evil deed. Now that's clear as day. Now I won't talk to you today on hell. A great many people say, well, I don't believe there's any hell. Well, I don't see why they wouldn't. I don't see if a good God let people die, let people suffer, let little babies cry in pain, and let us have graveyards all over this country. I don't see why people say that same God wouldn't let folks that deserve to go to hell go to hell. A good judge sentences a man according to the violation of the law, and there are certain penalties that follow certain violations that don't follow other violations. Now, God Almighty tells men to repent and calls them to come back and get right with him and offers them salvation and does all that sort of business. And if men will just deliberately choose to go ahead and not surrender, they can't blame God if it's a hell. God was good to tell us about a hell and tell us how to stay out of hell and how to get to heaven when we die and all that. But the Bible makes it plain there's a hell. Don't tell me there's no hell. We read in the Bible where a man died and he went to a good place, a fellow named Lazarus, and he rested in Abraham's bosom. He was poor down here. And another man, the rich man that near whose home he stayed to get the crumbs over to the dogs, died and went to hell. And they were separated by an impassable gulf. And this man down there in hell asked for a drop of water. And Abraham crossed the chasm and said, I can't send it to you. I can't get this gulf. The gulf can't be crossed. And the man went out there. Did you know there's such a thing as an inertia of the soul? The inertia of the soul? For instance, I go out here and throw a ball up in the air. The ball has a tendency to go on up and up and up, and it will go up forever if it wasn't for the law of gravitation that pulled it back. And then if I go out here and lay something down, where I put that, the tendency of that thing is to stay forever where I put it, and it will stay where I put it, unless it's acted upon by some external force. Now, there's such a thing as the inertia of the soul. A man lives in sin and dies in sin and goes to hell a sinner. And, you know, the brakes don't work anymore. It's eternal degradation. Now, the Bible makes it plain there's a hell. The wicked shall be turned to hell with all the nations that forget God. That's clear. No question about what it says about that. That's as definite as anything could be said. And we read about that judgment day when Jesus Christ is going to judge the nations of the earth. And he'll say, come to me on my right side and reign with me. And you folks on over here to depart into the lake of fire, eternal punishment. Read all of that about hell. Now listen, what is the greatest sin that a man can commit? The greatest sin that a man can commit is to turn his back on Jesus Christ. I've referred to that so many times. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, and strength. I think I spoke to you about that in a recent message. Not to love God is to commit the greatest sin. Now you commit it. Now if God Almighty made man, he gave man a free will. He gave you the power of choice. You were born in sin, and after you fell, Adam fell and the race fell. God Almighty said, well, I'm going to save everybody that wants to be saved. And he sent his son down here and laid him down on a cross to save you. And you were still rejecting him. Well, somebody said, well, everybody wants to go to heaven. No, they don't. Everybody wants to go to heaven is going to heaven. You don't want to go to heaven. Not unless you're going. If you want to go, you can go. Oh, you say, I wouldn't want to go to hell. Well, all right. When the rich man got down there, he didn't ask to get out. He asked to be as comfortable as possible and get a drop of water from another world from the finger of a poor beggar to put on his tongue, but he didn't ask to get out. He said, I'm down here. You know, I'd have thought he said there's any way out of here, but he didn't. Now, you better be careful about your life, for the Bible makes it plain there's a place of future rewards for the righteous and a place of future punishment for the wicked. Now, that's as clear in the Bible as anything there. There are two ways and two places, and the roads are going to these two places. One is a righteous road, a holy road, a pure road, a road marked with the blood of the Son of God that was shed on Calvary. The other road's a bad road, a dark road going down the road grade, and some of you may be going that way. Now, the Bible makes it plain as hell. The salvation, no other name except the name of Jesus. And that old song that you sing, turn, sinner, turn, why will you die? God, your maker, ask you why. All this talk today about not believing in hell is because they quit believing in sin. Sin produces hell in this world. Sin turned paradise that God Almighty fixed for Adam and Eve into paradise lost and put thorns on roses. And sin turns happy homes into hell. And sin turns hearts that are filled with peace into hearts of agony and suffering. There's bound to be a hell of some kind. No man ever lived in the world big enough, strong enough, wise enough, mighty enough to sin against the holy God and get away from it. All right. Now, did it clear? The Bible teaches it. You don't have to wonder about it. If you did wonder about it, you ought to give God the benefit of the doubt. I wouldn't take any chances if I even wondered about it. I'd play the game safe, and you can play it. If there wasn't any hell, if there wasn't any heaven, if this world's old, it'd still pay to live the right kind of life. But the Bible makes it clear there's a hell. And you better listen. Let me tell you what you better do. You better stop and listen. And if you are not right with God, you better get right with Him, and you better do it quickly. For time's passing. Now, you know, I'm talking to somebody right now, and the only thing between you and hell is a heartbeat. That's such a little thing to be between a fellow and hell, just a heartbeat. That's all. Your heart stops beating this second. This second, somebody listen to me, would be lost forever. I bless God, between me and hell is a cross, and on that cross a bleeding lamb. And thank God, as long as I have that open sepulcher and a cross and a risen Christ, I have a sense of security. I wouldn't take chances with my soul for 24 hours for all the money the world has to offer. I want to play this thing safe. Eternity is a long time. And I read about it, how they turned to hell, how it's out of darkness, soul is lost. How it's a fiery furnace where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched. And all of it comes about because you won't have salvation that God offered you. God loves you. You said, I wouldn't send my child to hell, neither would God. But you're not God's child until you're born again. Any man that wants to be God's child can be God's child. And you'll become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. You don't have to put it off. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wonder about it. You can trust Him right now, right where you are, and come to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Now, there's no question. Just read your Bible. More said about hell, I think, in the Bible is about Him. I remember some of those old-time sermons those old-time preachers used to preach. Oh, what terrible sermons they were. I couldn't sleep at night after I'd hear them. But I can sleep now because I thank God that I'm in Jesus Christ and I'm a new creation. I'm born again. I'm not worthy. But He has given me a robe of His own righteousness. He was wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and with His stripes I'm healed. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for me. He bore my sins on a cruel cross in His blessed body and nailed my sins to a tree, and then they took His mangled form down and buried Him. He rose from the dead and went back to heaven and is coming again. And now it's, I die before He comes, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And if I die before He comes, if I'm a sinner, I know where I'd go. But thank God I'm going where He is. He's my Savior. I wonder if you are saved. Listen, I wonder if some of you folks sitting right there now, suppose you drop dead, what happened to you? Have you been born again? Oh, you see, I'm a church member. Now, wait a minute. Don't talk like that. Dr. Torrey told me after preaching the gospel around the world, he said, I don't believe more than 10% of the church members of the world have been converted. You better not take any chance for your soul. Eternity is a long, long time. It's awful to be lost. But while the lamp holds out to burn, the vilest sinner may return. But time's passing. You're already now almost 15 minutes near eternity when I started talking, bringing this message. and the clock ticks and ticks and ticks away time. And your heart beats and beats and beats until after a while it stops beating. It'll be too late then. Now while you have a chance, while the door of hope is open, while Jesus Christ is ready to save you, before you depart into punishment away from him, before you're lost forever, you better trust him as your Savior. He's calling you. He's speaking to you. Come to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Him that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. He'll take you. Never mind who you are. Never mind what you've done. Never mind how you've lived. His arms of mercy are open. His arms of love are open. And he's ready to take you and wants to take you and wants to save you. Ready, eager to save you if you'll just trust him. But you can't save yourself and you can't earn salvation. You can't pay for it. And your only escape from the eternal fires of an eternal hell or from the outer darkness of an eternal night, the only escape you have is escape of the cross, the way of the cross leads home. There's no way that any man or woman listening to me or ever has listened to me, or any man or woman who's ever lived, that can save themselves. The only way you can be saved is to take the plan that Jesus Christ offers you. Jesus Christ died so God could be just and the justifier of every sin that trusts him. And you better turn your face to him and turn your back on sin and get right with him before it's too late. The darkness is settling. The end is nearing. Life is passing. The years go by like mileposts on a railroad. It's Christmas and New Year and Thanksgiving and Christmas and another New Year, and so it goes. And you better get right with him. He's calling you now. We pray the Spirit of God may move upon your heart, that you may be yielded and dedicated and consecrated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, there's salvation, no other name given among men. No other name except in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you better turn to him. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And there's no life in any other plan except this plan. And his life's eternal life. If you don't take it, it's eternal death. So it's a choice between eternal life and eternal death. And there never were two more dreadful words tied together than those two words, eternal death. What does it mean? What can it mean? How deep must be the meaning? Is it the eternal twitching of muscles? The eternal staring of an eye? The eternal struggle of a breath? The eternal sweat on the brow? Eternal death, dying, 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 forever and forever, down in eternity, and you don't have to be. The door of hope's open to you. Eternal life, what wonderful words. No more death, no more sorrow, no more sighing, no more dying. May God help you to trust him. Our Father, help those who have listened and are not saved to trust you right now, right where they are. You said you'd take them, help them to trust you. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. Listen next week at this time for another message from The Word of Truth, sponsored by Bob Jones University.